In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. It occurs to me that one of the things you probably don't know about your new pastor at this point is that I have a deep-seated love of musicals. Top two favorite, Phantom of the Opera and Les Mis. Oh yeah, seen both of them. Can sing along with both of them. It's the greatest sadness of my life that I'm an alto, because Christine, of course, in The Phantom is the soprano. So is Fantine, and so is Cosette in Les Mis. Now, Eponine is an alto, and that's okay, because she sings On My Own, which that's all right, but you know. That's the stage musicals. In the land of other movie musicals, oh man, I mean, come on, they're all great. Finian's Rainbow, Go Paint Your Wagon. I mean, who doesn't love Lee Marvin singing I Was Born Under a Wandering Star? I mean, that's just great. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, we love you. Yep, But my absolute favorite, if they had its sing-along version, I'd be there for every showing, is The Sound of Music, and I don't care that Maria is a soprano, boy, because I can sing those notes. And if I don't, I drop it an octave and we call it good. I love The Sound of Music. It is my favorite. Will Nichols and I can have good conversations. Choir was great with him because, of course, he's a huge Julie Andrews fan. And so Sound of Music, oh yeah, he and I could do Sound of Music going way back. But anyway, there is a scene in, toward the beginning, after Maria's gotten in trouble for singing out in the hills and she was late for prayers and didn't have her habit on. She's in talking with the Reverend Mother. And they're talking, and the Reverend Mother looks at Maria and says, "And what is the most important lesson you have learned here, my child?" To which Maria responds, "To find out what is the will of God and to do it wholeheartedly." Well, Reverend Mother puts her hands on her desk. How many have seen The Sound of Music? All right. She puts her hands on her desk and says, "Maria, it seems to be the will of God that you leave us for a while," and Maria just fights against that. And she finally gets down to it and says, "Go be the governess of the 7 Von Trapp kids." And of course, this is not what Maria wanted to hear. She did not want to hear she was being more or less kicked out of the convent. And she's going on, "I insist, I belong here, but this is my home, my life, my family, this is where I belong." And Reverend Mother goes, "Maria?" And Maria sits down and responds with a sigh and says, "It is God's will." And so she puts her street clothes back on and she's walking, she's got her carpet bag and her guitar, remember? And she stops in that hallway and she reflects, when the Lord closes a door, somewhere he opens a window. Our I am statement for today is, "I am the gate," or "I am the gate of the sheep." Or some translations do it, Jesus said, "I am the door." Well, the struggle of one door being closed is not something new. The struggle to find the door that is open is not a new struggle. In the very beginning of time, you remember God created everything, and then he created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden. And then what happened? The sneaky serpent said, "Oh, Eve, here, eat this. This is perfect. You can have all the knowledge you want." And not only did she take a bite, she took it to Adam and said, "Here, Adam, try this. This is really good. And then we can be as smart as God." And in that act, a door was slammed shut. The door between God, the Creator, God, the Heavenly Father, and humanity was shut. And that right relationship that was enjoyed was changed forever, and that's what we call the fall of humanity in the garden. That right relationship that had been missing since that very first bite of that piece of fruit. A door slammed. So in our gospel reading, Jesus describes this as the thieves and the outlaws who have come not only to steal, who entered only to steal and kill and destroy. And that's kind of one of those He's the door. The door was shut. We have the thieves and the outlaws who've come to kill and steal and destroy and be thievery. And what does he say? The sheep ignored them. We have two problems, you guys, when a door closes today. Two. The first is that we fight against that door and we continue to pull at it even though it's closed shut. How many times does that happen? You'd be going along and all of a sudden that door on that part of your life closes and you're going, no, I'm not done yet. Let me back in. You remember my story about music theory? I went to Alma College with every intention of being a high school music teacher. Now, how messed up is this? I was going to go be an orchestra teacher, and what class did I not sign up for my freshman year? Orchestra. Should have known then, but no, I stuck with it, and I passed music theory 1, and I got to music theory 2, and I failed it. So the next year, I came back and tried it again. Let me in, let me in. And I failed it again with the same text, the same teacher, and the same class time. Now, you'd think that the second time through, I'd have caught it, but no. Why? Because that door was shut. The second problem that we face is that when that door closes, okay, so if we don't pull against it, we start seeking the next one that's open, right? Because when the Lord closes a door somewhere, he opens a window. So we start looking. And this is where it gets tricky, because we start looking for whatever we were seeking behind the door that is now closed, and there are plenty of open windows and open doors along the way. There's only one that's actually ours. So we start looking at or considering all of the other doors and windows that are offered not by the God who created us, but by this world. The quick fixes, the temporary relief, the cough drop in place of the cough syrup with codeine. The temporary take this and you'll feel better, or do this and you'll be a better person, or this, but it's temporary. These are non-solutions. They actually end up holding us back. It's kind of like when you're playing Mario, which apparently Google Maps is doing a thing with Mario Kart, bananas showing up in the road and whatever else. But anyway, it's like when you're playing Mario and you go down the one tube and you end up in the extra spot in the world and it's a dead end. And so you have to manage to sprawling and jump back up through the tube to get back on the right path. It's what happens when we engage with those doors and windows that are not the ones we're supposed to be going with. They distract us from finding the one we're actually supposed to be on. But Jesus says that the sheep ignored the thieves and the outlaws, and that they passed through the gate of the sheepfold to the sheepfold that was Jesus, and that through Jesus, whoever came to the pasture through him would be saved. Jesus says that Jesus came, so that they, the sheep, could have life and live life to the fullest. Well, the thing that stands out here to me is that it's not simply eternal life. Scripture doesn't say that. This passage does not say that. It does not say Jesus came to offer eternal life. It says Jesus came so that they could have a life and live it to the fullest. Paul wrote to the Romans about this. I want you to listen again to our first scripture reading from this morning. This is Paul speaking to the Romans, and he says, therefore, since we have been made righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems, because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character. And character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were still weak, at the right moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might dare to die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So, now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his son while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have a restored relationship with God. A restored relationship with God. And oh, my Lord, friends, what a gift that is. That our God sent his son into this world to die for us while the door was still closed between us and God. So when Jesus says, I am the gate, or I am the door, whichever way you want to translate it, that door that was slammed shut in the garden is now opened again. Hallelujah for that. So do we not then owe it to ourselves, our neighbor, and yes, even our God to seek the right door? We pray it every Sunday. Thy will be done. It's not my will. It's not your will. It's God's will be done. God opens that door he wants us to go through. If we're going to say we're Christians, if we're going to say we live a Christian life, then let's start showing it by actively seeking the doors and the gates and the windows we're called to go through. Let's stop engaging with the false ones. Amen? It's kind of like when I tease my brother Jonathan, and I shouldn't do this. Jonathan's seven years younger than I am, and oh, I love it. I may not be perfect at many things, but by golly, I'm good at being an older sister. I have lots of experience with it, and I shouldn't do it so much, but I love to tease him because I get a rise out of him every time. You would think 25 years on, he'd figure it out, but no, and I enjoy getting, you know, poke, poke, poke. And it's funny, if you'd met Jonathan, I'm 5'5". Jonathan is 6'4". Was a heavyweight wrestler in high school. He's a big kid. But he rises to the occasion and he doesn't realize that he's being teased until his dander gets up and the hair on the back of his neck starts to stand up. And it's just what the false doors are doing, guys. They're out there to entice us. And to try and get a rise and to get us to rise to the occasion. And in the end, we've only wasted our time and energy on something that doesn't last. Jesus came to this world so that we could have life. Not just eternal life, but life, and so that we could live it to the fullest. It's through Jesus that that door that was slammed shut in the garden all those generations ago is opened again and right relationship between us and God was restored. It's possible. It is. But we have to do our part. We have to claim it. We have to accept the fact that we are forgiven and there's not a thing we can do to gain more of God's forgiveness, God's grace, or God's love. There is not a thing we can do. So let's be thankful for it. This week, let's focus on being thankful. Thankful that there's always a door open somewhere. Thankful that God forgave us, humanity us, when Jesus laid down his life for us. Thankful that we have the opportunity to be thankful. Let's stop rising to the occasion when the pressures and the voices and the other doors of this world taunt and tease us. They can't offer what we already have. The love and forgiveness and grace of our Creator. Thanks be to God. Amen.